Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry, and then to discern and deconstruct what they do, package it so that you can grow your agency faster. And I am, as I usually am, excited about this podcast. From time to time, we get requests for me to interview agents, brokers, and particularly clients that are successful. So I got one for you that I think you are going to enjoy. Tammy LeSueur is the co-owner of Bancor Insurance in Central Oregon, licensed and actively doing business in 12 states. And I like sharing this conversation for a number of reasons. Number one, if you think you've got obstacles, this one's a good one to listen to. As you'll discover in the story, when they purchased this agency, actually, she doesn't even tell the half of it, but it had some inherent challenges and obstacles that you hope you never have. And she also tells the story about how she overcame them. She also tells the story of an agency that made structural changes that we're beginning to see in the industry more and more now. They made these changes 15, 20 years ago. And that's probably a really good explanation for why they have grown more than 500%. And she also talks about how she communicates with her customer base and how important that has been for constant, consistent growth and the tools and technologies that she uses to do that and that the agency uses to do that. And then finally, we do cover an issue that I am finding more and more prevalent with my private clients, with members of the Mastermind Group, the Million Dollar Club that I facilitate for Agency Revolution. It's that a new generation is taking over the industry, and that presents challenges, and they have new challenges to face that perhaps the generation that's bowing out doesn't have or didn't have. And so Tammy talks very openly about how she is preparing the next generation for a slightly, as they always are, uncertain and maybe turbulent future with its own set of challenges. So, without further ado, or maybe just a little bit, I'm going to introduce you to my conversation with Tammy. Before I do, a couple of things. Number one, always love feedback. You can email me at michael@agencyrevolution.com. Number two, I have a rough draft, or actually an almost final draft, of my book going out. Last call. You want a free copy, you can get it. Email me and just say, I want your book. Michael@agencyrevolution.com. I don't have a title for it. So for those of you who are getting the early copies, you're kind of getting it the way it looks before it's finished, but the content is there. I did have a client tell me there are two typos. He just hasn't told me where they are yet, and I'm probably not going to take the time to chase them down. There's that. And between now and the beginning of the year, because I'm recording this in the middle of December, I will be leaving with Teresa to go to Vietnam for a few weeks to see the other founder of Agency Revolution, and a few other people that I care about a great deal. So I will probably not be available by email. So without further ado, now I am going to introduce you and welcome you to this conversation with Tammy LeSueur, co-owner of Bancor Insurance in Central Oregon. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this conversation with a longtime client of mine, Tammy LeSueur. Tammy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you. So I think it would be interesting for us to start with a little little bit of history on your situation and maybe how you got started in the industry, because I'm leading up because I think the story itself has a lesson for everybody. So how'd you get into this?
Well, basically, went back to New York City. My husband and I both attended the College of Insurance, and we did that because we could get our tuition paid by the industry at that time.
And right.
After going, you know, finishing our degrees, working for insurance companies, we decided we wanted to run our own business.
Uh-huh.
So we looked for an agency in Oregon. That's where we were from, and the College of Insurance is in New York City. So then we moved back home to Oregon, and bought a very small, little tiny personal lines agency in the middle of three national forests.
Right. Yeah, so one might say, from a strategic point of view, that if you had any location in the world to start or take over an agency, you might not choose one, a very small town, two, that has a lower than average socioeconomic status, and three, has certain geographic footprint problems, because pretty much if you go, east, west, north, south, I mean, almost all four directions, you're going to run into a few million acres of national forest, yeah?
Yeah, you know, we would have thought about the location before we bought it, but, you know, we were young.
Okay.
In our late 20s, it just never occurred to us. It was a pretty place to move.
it's a gorgeous place to move. It's a great place to live, and I know where you are there on the Little Deschutes River, and so it's spectacular.
From a business point of view, no, not the best.
So there could have been some problems, but those were challenges, and you couldn't make the challenges go away, but you could overcome them. So you ran that, you ran the agency for some years, and, you know, first of all, credit goes where credit is due. You and your partner, Rex, are the ones who executed successfully on strategy, executed successfully on a variety of marketing tactics and techniques. So you know, the credit definitely goes to you guys. Now, we first entered into a professional relationship so long ago, Tammy, I've forgotten how long ago.
You were still with the PIA.
Okay.
It was probably a good 3 years ago.
Okay. So, going back decades, and then, of course, since you've become, you know, a private client, a member of our Million Dollar Club, and an active power user of Agency Revolution technology. So let's kind of go back to when things started to really when the agency really started to get some traction and you began to see some acceleration and growth.
The first thing we did is realize that we needed to do something to go outside of our community. We definitely couldn't make a living in our community selling insurance.
Okay, so
it was just too small.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because I have another private client who I think has a great deal of potential, and one of the challenges, I just began to work with the agency, and one of the challenges that the culture has is this sense that, gosh, our county is only so big, and oddly, the socioeconomic status is below average. So what would you say, you know, to the agents who are listening or are kind of suffering the same problem, what would you say to them?
there's something in your book of business that you do well, and that's what we first learned. One of your very first years and years and years ago marketing boot camp, I went to, you had a agent talk about niche marketing. And he was very successful down in California, John Baccarella.
Right.
And when I came back and looked at our book of business, I realized we had about 100 contractors. Now, these are small, little, single-guy contractors, you know, in our book of business.
Right. So let me pause you for a moment. Did you have those 100 contractors because of any strategic effort to secure those relationships, or were they just kind of mixed up in that book of business in general?
They were mixed up in that book of business because those were the people that lived in our community.
Okay, got it. All right. And so when you discovered that you had 100 of them, was that a surprise to you?
It was.
Okay.
I had no idea.
All right. So then what?
So we basically, you know, at that point, I realized that we were good at something. You know, we weren't just a generalist. We had the right market and the right mix of people that we knew how to write these little artisan contractors.
Right.
So at that point in Oregon, you know, the next thing is in the marketing, how do you get a list and how do you market to them? And we went down that road. And in Oregon, I can get a list of contractors. They have to be licensed. I can buy that from the state for very inexpensive, and it gives me their name and address. And at that time, that was before the land of email. And we actually set up a mailing campaign. Mm-hmm. And we started writing contractors.
Right.
And then, of course, market forces changed, and all the markets pulled out of contractors because of construction defects.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally got down to one market that would write contractors, and now we've grown this book of business to a couple hundred contractors.
Yeah.
Which, that sounds like on the face of it that it was, you know, we were in a bad situation. But we decided because you could lose your whole market, right?
Right.
Now you sit with 100 guys, where are you going to put them?
Right.
We had the one market. There's a lot of contractors in all of the United States. They're not going to just let them hanging out to dry. We had one market, and we worked with that market, and we wrote a couple of thousand contractors in 1 year.
Now, I was
snail mail. This was snail mail.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, as I recall, years and years ago, we had a conversation about how much you love disruption in the marketplace. Because what that left was a lot of contractors in turmoil. So your message was able to reach people who needed help.
They needed help.
Okay. Because
they had basically been getting the cancellation notice from their insurance company.
Right.
Most agents, when a market change happens, if they have another market, they may move them. If not, you know, they just look at the customer and say, hey, there's nothing I can do. And, you know, we were lucky enough to have a market that wanted to work with us. And because of our experience in New York, they understood what we wanted to do. And we had a lot of trust built up with that market.
Right.
And just wrote the heck out of contract.
As I recall, your marketing was fairly aggressive at that time.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, not only were you doing a lot of it, but the messaging was fairly aggressive.
Basically, the letter we sent out that went down into infamy was, you know, your insurance company is leaving you high and dry and you can't even build a doghouse. We have a fix for it.
Yeah.
And it was aggressive enough that, the Department of Insurance called us because other agents had complained, but there was nothing wrong in the letter. One of our markets got angry, but it was a small market and left the agency. But as overall, it was probably the best move we did. We changed the letter to make it happier for the insurance commissioner and went about our business writing contractors.
Okay, so I forgot. So you got a call from the commissioner. You felt you were being.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, their thing was is that we had used the company's name that was pulling out, and that we shouldn't have done that. And we probably shouldn't have.
Okay.
We didn't do anything wrong. It's like they were like, this is one of the best letters we've ever seen, and we can see you're really a consumer advocate. It just needs to change this one thing.
That's interesting.
Did you send me the letter out?
I remember the name of the carrier who at this point there's no reason to bring their name up, but I remember that there was a prominent carrier in Oregon that they either pulled out or they changed the coverage in such a way that they may as well have pulled out. And you did call them out. I'm not sure. I mean, in my world of marketing, companies do that all the time, but in your case, you chose to be compliant with the insurance commissioner, probably a smart thing to do. And it continued to work well for you. So I'll tell you a very brief story. I think I may have shared with you before, but the audience probably never heard this. So at that point, this goes back a ways, and you were still doing snail mail marketing. As I recall, you had like a goldenrod flyer. No envelope, but it was what in the industry we call a self-mailer. So
yep, trifold.
Trifold self-mailer. So Teresa and I, now, for those in the audience who don't know me as well, I moved my family to Central Oregon, not to La Pine, but first moved to Sun River. And then we chose to build a house in Bend. So we hired a GC who had been recommended to us. And in one of my first meetings with him, I said, hey, I don't know where you get your insurance, but I can recommend an agent who really specializes in this. And he said, who's that? I said, Bancor Insurance. They're down in La Pine. And he said, oh, I'm already with them. And I said, oh, that's interesting. How did you get a relationship with them? Because not only is he not in La Pine, nor was he in Bend, but he was even farther north in Crooked River. So he was, what some people would say, not in your natural geographic footprint. And he said, oh, I got this flyer. I said, okay, that's all I need to hear. That's how you got that customer. So that was transformative, taking a Main Street agency and kind of grafting onto it a natural niche where you already had expertise.
Yeah, that's okay. Exactly what we did.
But you didn't stop there.
No.
So maybe to put this into perspective, in the time that, let's say in the couple of decades or so that, we've known each other, by percentages, how much would you say you've grown?
Percentages. I know that at least five times larger than we were.
Yeah, at least 500%.
Five, six times larger than we
okay.
were.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then, of course, contractors, you probably lost a lot of contractors during the economic downturn. Yeah?
We did.
You continued to maintain a relatively consistent path to growth. So what else did you do?
During the downturn, we did lose a lot of contractors. And we knew that was going to happen. We also have other niches, so we're not just the contractor niche. We have probably four or five other niches.
And some of them are a little bit oddball.
Yeah.
Private water districts, all right? I mean, the average, urban agent may not even know what they are.
No.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're in Oregon, so there's a lot of small water districts in Oregon and California. Washington is basically the Pacific Northwest. They're just small little districts. They might only have 1,000 hookups, which means they supply water to 1,000 homes.
Yeah, okay. So if you want one really small, Tammy, There's a big green, what do you call those things up at the top of the hill in the foothills here?
The water tanks.
So I think because our homeowners association owns our water company, we might have maybe 150 or 200 hookups. So Yeah. So if you
not unusual.
If you want a really small one, I could do one for you down here in the Sonoran Desert. So in any case,
we take them that small.
You'll take them that small. All right. Well, I'm not sure I have any influence down here yet, but we'll get to that point. So. And will completely transform your business with that one. And so you've made a commitment to some kind of odd, really niche-y niches, and some of them, you know, as we discussed, I mean, you probably seriously could write my water district if you wanted to, but some of them are clearly. Outside of Lapine, right? So, yeah, because you're now licensed in how many states?
We're licensed in 12 states.
12 states, and that's pretty much, you know, because those are the 12 states where your niches are present.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So for those in the listener audience who may be thinking, you know, I've got a small market territory, I think we've just wiped that objection out, right?
Right.
Okay. And
what you have to do is you really have to decide where your strengths lie for where you live. And also what you can, I guess, build on.
Got it.
In our case, when we start looking at niches, we have a very specific, I mean, once you're known as a niche marketer, the other thing that happens is markets come to you because they don't have people who will market that niche.
And is your observation that if somebody's really dominant in a niche, a market who has a viable product in that niche, they're going to find out about you because you're going to keep taking business away from them probably, right?
You're going to be taking business away from them, and their customers are going to ask about you to their agent.
Got it. Okay.
And sooner or later, they'll pick up the phone and call you.
Got it. All right. So before we kind of move on to the next topic, I want to look at the agency one more time. So you were a small town agency and. Had a, I think when you guys got it, probably was predominantly personal lines?
Almost all personal lines,
okay.
Probably 85%.
All right. Now,
so we still do a lot of personal lines.
Exactly.
We haven't given that up.
Right. So you still do personal lines. So what are some of the things that you did to grow in the personal lines arena?
At the same time that we found this little contractor niche, I also went through the book and I contend no matter how good of agent you are, because I've talked to a lot of agents over the years, and they'll all tell you that their book is 100% cross-sold.
Okay.
I know it's not. As much as we market and try to cross-sell, my book is still not 100% cross-sold.
Right. Okay. So what did you
do? Not a sexy marketing strategy, by the way, but we started just cross-selling to our own clients. You know, if I have a standalone home, no auto, if I have, you know, standalone auto, no home. And then we went after the umbrella, if RVs, toys, anything that they had.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, especially in a rural area, they'll have a home office, you know, where they'll be doing a business on the side. And we wouldn't have even known that if we had that.
Ah, yeah. I suppose, Tammy, we should talk about that because you do have a client down here in Arizona now. I have an office in the Casita, so you can pass that on to my agent there in Bancor Insurance. So, and so back in the day, so pre-technology, you know, before we had the immense possibilities of what marketing automation can do. What were you doing to cross-sell that book?
We would, again, everything was snail mail.
Uh-huh.
You know, we did a fairly expensive campaign, but it paid very well for us, where we actually sent out 9-volt batteries to replace in your own smoke detector.
Right. Now I remember that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it was auto only. They were to cross-sell to their home, and we picked up a substantial number of poems that we'd never had on the book before.
So that's been, it's probably been a while, I'm guessing, since you ran that campaign?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We ran that campaign once. So then after that, we started using, you know, we still did the mail. We did newsletters. We put in a referral, program.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we could get people to give us their home or their auto and their umbrella. A lot of consumer education with the newsletters, which is also a, you know, protection thing, which
right.
we found out over the years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People will say, you didn't tell me about that. Well, yeah, you did.
So the Personal Lines book, I don't know if you, off the top of your head, I'm putting you on the spot, you probably don't know what percentage it grew, but it grew substantially as well. Okay.
It did. And we're, well, to the point to where, you know, we're probably, I know it doubled easily because we now have to have two full-time agents work that. And that book is very automated. I mean, you don't have as many, you don't need as many people. There's not as much paper pushing in Personal Lines.
Got it. All right. So now I want to look at something. That is, it's not unique, but it almost was when, you know, if we, again, let's go back 15 or 20 years or so, it was fairly unique. So for those who listened to my interview with Chuck Blondino at Safeco, you will recall, and if you haven't, by the way, download that one. It's a killer because Safeco did research. And for those of us who are serious and professional marketers, we love data because it tells us stories that, you know, it reveals stories that we may have missed otherwise, but it also does it with the foundation of science as opposed to the occasional anecdotal story, which too many agents rely on. And so they analyzed their top performing agencies, their top 240 performing large agencies, and their top 240 small to medium agencies. Now, first of all, the growth rates were terrific. 26% for the large agencies. And as I recall, 83% for the small to medium agencies. And so, you know, as a marketer, my key question is, what did they do differently, right? It wasn't because they were lucky. It wasn't because they happened to be in a certain geographic territory. Essentially, what they did, number one, they made a commitment to marketing, and number two, they communicated more value and more frequently to their customers into their marketplace. So when I look at your agency, even 15 or 20 years ago, it made that commitment and put its money where its mouth is. So your role in the agency, you know, that you had a job description that didn't exist in the industry 15 or 20 years ago. Can you talk about what you did and what you do and how you think that is different than other agencies?
Yeah, most agencies, they have their producer. And oftentimes, that producer is the owner. And he goes out and produces business however he does it, whether it's, you know, on chamber meetings, rotary, whatever. They don't have someone doing marketing. And what I decided to do as with a partner, which our partnership with Rex and I lent it well, is I decided to do the marketing for the agency.
Okay.
You know, we're a good-sized agency. We've had tremendous growth. We have no producers on staff.
Right.
Which, for most agencies, that's not how they do business.
Yeah, and that is, you know, clearly that's one way to grow. But let's talk about that for a moment, because you do have one commercial producer. He's the other guy, right? He's your other partner. Besides being the president of the agency, he's also, you know, if there's a middle market account, he's the guy who's going to go on that account, right?
Right.
Okay. So clearly, some of the marketing generates inbound phone calls that get closed by, in your case, CSRs, customer service reps.
All of them get closed by CSRs.
But there is no market where Rex has been the producer where it wasn't also supported by marketing.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
We wouldn't have the water district if I hadn't marketed them.
Right. Or probably several others that I can think of. So the reason I want to stress that is because one of the, it's kind of a gut level reaction. It's almost an objection. When I talk about marketing, you know, it's very often that people will fall back on, this is the way that it's been, you know, we've been doing it for 20 years, or this is the way that the industry has done it for 100 years. If you've got a commercial lines producer, they're responsible for generating their own leads, which is kind of like door, you know, saying, I'm going to take my most expensive person and make him a door-to-door salesperson. He has to do everything, including he's got to generate his own leads. And so what you did is you kind of turned that on its head, and you allowed marketing to reach out to thousands of prospects at once, and then they became inbound. And I think you'd agree with me, but feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. The closing ratio on them is higher because they come pre-interested and pre-motivated and virtually pre-sold before physical contact is actually made.
Yes, that's all true. And that's one of the things when I talk to other agents about what we do, I'm not anti-producer by any means. I think if you want to go down the producer line, you should. But I also believe that if you're not supporting that producer with marketing, you're setting up him or her to fail.
Got it. All right. Well, 80% of them do. So, and the 20%, the 20% who succeed would succeed more if they had pre-interested, pre-motivated, and pre-sold prospects reaching out to them. So that being said, I think we can move on. So as we all know, the world changed and certain technologies became available. Now, I know that you were a user of ZipDrip, which our company built 17 years ago. The first
email, I was going to say that was years ago.
You know, the first automatic email marketing system for insurance agents. I think we launched it in the year 2000. And I think that was the year where Luke and I delivered the first internet insurance marketing course for insurance agents. But then obviously things have changed, and you became a client of and have become a power user of the Connect technology, and so you become a believer in email marketing. Now, I don't think in your case that hasn't replaced all of your snail mail marketing or other forms of marketing, but it clearly has supplemented it.
It supplements it a great deal. And the way we use email marketing in our agency is to provide additional value to our clients.
Got it. All right.
It is purely that additional value in cross-sell.
Got it. Okay. By the way, I'm going to ask you more about how you're using email marketing. You used to have a killer Yellow Pages ad, and as I recall, you know, after you made those changes, the increase in calls like doubled or tripled. Do you still have a Yellow Pages ad?
Like everybody else, no, we don't.
Okay,
but we did at the time.
Well. I mean, some things are, you know, media changes. You know, over the years, we have taught people how to do email marketing and, you know, virtually all forms of digital marketing, but also fax broadcasting, voicemail broadcasting, and Yellow Pages. And as things change, sometimes there are things we have to drop, and sometimes there are things that are worth keeping. So you've maintained some things, but email marketing has become, am I right about this? It has become kind of a central core way of communicating with your customer base.
It's our core way of communicating with our customer base, and we use it also to cross-sell new customers. You know,
yeah.
You're a new customer in our agency. You have an email. You're going to get an email.
Okay. So what do you love about email marketing? What kind of campaigns are you passionate about?
I can really dive into what my customer wants to hear from me. Okay. With the current Connect product, it, you know, marries it integrates with when we're on a Vertafore agency. It integrates with Vertafore, and we're able to really drill down into that in some of our mini niches.
Okay.
Some little,
so when you drill down into it, what are some of the things that you discover?
Well, when you drill down to it, then you can send your content specific to that niche. I mean, one of our smallest niches that we have a specific contract to are ski clubs.
Oh.
Little tiny niche.
Yeah.
Okay. but they need a special product. You know, I'm near Bachelor. There's ski clubs all over the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a market that specializes in ski clubs.
Got it.
And they also have specialty things for ski clubs, you know, special products that are not necessarily insurance products. It might be how to get more members to your ski club, stuff like that.
Ah, okay.
So I'm using someone else's content, not writing it myself, mm-hmm. using someone else's content, putting it in the email and sending it out to that specific niche.
Got
and
it.
That just builds you credibility. And then the next time they call for insurance, they need insurance, and they have someone else who needs insurance. Well, you're the first one on the list because you're the only one talking to them in their language.
Got it. Okay. So clearly your water districts don't want to know about how to get more ski club members. So you can hyper-target.
That's exactly what we're doing with email.
Got it. Yep. Okay. What else do you do with email? What else do you do? How do you, this, you know, I know that, Tammy, we have talked about this in the mastermind group that you belong to. The overwhelming value of delivering an ongoing stream of value to your customers. So what else do you do that you think, you know, like, so let's say I was one of your customers. I'm a water district guy or a firefighter or whatever it is, right? And I open up my email and I get a message, and I presumably it's maybe coming from Rex or maybe coming from the internal producer, the CSR, however you've got it set up. What do you think, is going to put delight in my heart because I got something from you?
Well, if you're a new customer, you're going to get a thank you email,
mm-hmm.
and basically an introduction to, you know, the rest of the agency.
Is it a series of messages?
A series of messages. I mean, I have a full benefit. You know, I have a benefit department. So, you know, they may have come in through the property casualty, but we also can sell their group health. We can also, you know, talk to them about everything.
Okay. So I'm a new customer.
We don't normally ask for the sale, by the way, in the email.
Uh-huh.
That's a mistake I think a lot of agents make, is they go right for the sale in that first email. We don't want to do that. We're building relationship.
You're investing in relationships, or as Dr. Stephen Covey said poignantly, making deposits in the emotional bank account with the other person.
Right. So if we're going to talk about something that's relative to them, if you're a small water district, we might talk to you about, you know, testing and how to have a reliable testing agency so that you make sure you don't have E. coli in your water.
Got it.
Or, you know, I mean, right. The stuff they want to know.
Okay. And so, yeah, so the majority of the communications are really intended to add value and deepen the relationship, as opposed to make withdrawals from the relationship.
Exactly.
It's like I often say, the novice marketer looks at marketing and says, how much can I get? And the advanced marketer looks at it and says, how much can I give? And so you are giving into those relationships. What other campaigns are you running that you think are really important for that customer experience and for the agency?
We'll talk about employee problems and how to handle that. Obviously, oftentimes we will put a cross sell in there, like, you know, EPIL is the number one claim right now for a business, no matter what size or who you are.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
okay.
And then we'll talk about, you know, actual claims that we know about, because we've seen some of them,
mm-hmm.
and you know, if you don't have this coverage, I don't know what it is, you can call our office. Or if you just want to take a look at it from another agent, we'll do that too. We had one in yesterday. One of our wildland firefighters called us. He's with the company we would put him with, but his policy renews after the first of the year. Well, he's had a good year this year, so he wants to prepay it.
Yep.
And his current agent said he couldn't do it.
Okay.
Well, my CSR picked up the phone, talked to the market, and got that taken care of for him. I'm not getting any commission on that.
Right.
But he knows, you know, basically what transpired was she said, well, you know, when it comes up for renewal, I'd be really, we'll be happy to talk to you. Well, his current agent didn't do that for him.
Got it.
Chances are I'll get a call back.
Uh-huh.
You know,
okay.
What can we do to make your life easier as a client of ours?
Got it. All right. Tammy, I have one other area that I need to explore with you because it's becoming more and more common for me with the clients that I work with, and I think it's becoming more common in the industry. All right. So one of the conversations that I'm having with your agency right now as a client is that you are beginning to take some steps to transition this agency to the next generation. Okay. In this case, the next generation is your daughter. And so the dream is for her to be able to progressively take over more control until ultimately she owns it. I'm sure that as you look at the future, you're probably thinking she's got challenges that she's going to be facing that are different than the challenges that you faced. She's going to have her own, you know, she's going to have her own Lapine/National Forest obstacles that are going to be, you know, obstacles or challenges to growth, right? Whatever they are. So when you look at the future for the next generation, what are some of the things that you think Cherie is going to have to deal with in the next few years?
I don't think any agency can run without a marketer. We've, in fact, hired a gal on staff who's backing me up right now, and
mm-hmm.
she's learning
marketing.
If you're a young agent and you're walking into your dad's office or your mom's office, or even if you're just a producer and you're going to do a buy-in,
mm-hmm.
I really don't think you can go without marketing because we use all the social media tools, we use the email tools, all that stuff backs up.
Right. Okay.
You better have a website. Most agencies do now, but a lot of them don't take care of them.
Well, yeah. Just so let's make a distinction between having an effective website and sort of checking off the box that says, I got a website, so I don't need to think about it, right? So, because I know you're relatively active with some frequency of blogging and maintaining your SEO, so that has to
be. Yeah, websites, I look at websites as it's a living, breathing thing. And that's one of your producers out there.
Right, right.
What we're seeing right now that's happening for us is often people get a piece of snail mail from me. I still use snail mail.
Uh-huh.
And they'll go online to my website. They'll go over and look at whatever product they think they want to look at, read a blog or two. They don't necessarily pick up the phone and call me. They may fill out a web form.
Right.
Web form.
Yep.
Not always. But what we're seeing this is relatively new, what we're seeing big increase on is we put a bookings button on our website, and that goes straight. So people want to talk to us,
yeah,
but on their time. So they'll hit the bookings and set up an appointment with an agent.
Oh, really? Okay. And then does the agent make an outbound call to them?
Yes.
And it's at the customer or the prospect's convenience.
At the customer's or prospect's convenience.
Okay. Do you happen to know what technology you use for your scheduling software?
Yes, that's it's Microsoft Outlook.
Uh-huh.
I'm an Office 365 user.
Yeah.
And the bookings came part of it. What's nice about that is it dumps right into the agent's calendar.
Got it.
So if you make a booking at 2 a.m. to talk to somebody on Friday at 3 p.m., it's going to bounce into their calendar
right.
as long as that's open, uh-huh. and then the agent gets it in the morning. I mean, can you imagine as a producer, I get in, I have someone that wants to talk to me, and their phone number's there?
Love it. Okay, got it.
I mean, really, a producer's dream.
What's in my inbox? Oh, prospects. Okay. All right. And by the way, for those who don't have that technology, there are lots of available applets that will facilitate
that. Do the same thing.
I use one myself, but I'm not going to tell anybody how to use it right now. okay. So,
I think that's how people want to. People, more and more people are communicating that way. They're not necessarily dropping into your office. They may not even be calling you, but they're sending you an email or setting up an appointment. They still want to talk to you.
So for the next generation, and of course, you're probably saying, "Hey, this is the current or past generation too." But you're thinking that the agency of the future needs a marketer.
They have to have a marketer.
Got it. All right.
I just can't see where they can operate. And they need to get that mindset that if they want their producers to be successful, they need to support them.
Well, sales, I mean, I've been in the sales industry for over 25 years. Sales without marketing has always struck me as the most expensive thing you could possibly do, but we can dive into that later. All right. So the next generation needs that. By the way, that also... I think that also was evidenced in Safeco's research that agencies, the structure of the independent insurance agency of today is morphing. It's changing. So whereas, you used to have, the principal who was in charge, and then you had the producers over here and the CSRs over here, and maybe you had, what we could call a marketer, meaning an upstream marketer, a placer,
right.
maybe have HR or admin. What they're seeing is that function of marketing is becoming formally integrated into the independent insurance agency of today. So I was thrilled to hear that research. All right, Tammy, I'm going to wind up with one last question. You ready?
Yep.
And I'm putting you on the spot on this one. If you could imagine the insurance industry driving down insurance highway at 65 or 70 miles an hour, and Tammy got to put up a billboard, and you want to deliver a message that meant something, that means something, what would you say? Now, the caveat is, if you start going over 10 words, they can't read it at 65 or 70 miles an hour. What do you want to say to the independent agency principal or the independent agent of today? I'm giving you time to think.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Okay.
we
can wordsmith it later, but essentially, what's the message that you want to deliver to the industry?
Essentially, you need to use all the tools at your disposal to communicate with your client or your prospective client. And you're looking for communication one-on-one. The millennials want to have the experience of mm-hmm. communication, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Not necessarily be sold.
Got it. Okay.
Different mindsets.
So you're creating relationship.
Yeah.
All right. Tammy, I know that we're going to be seeing you in Arizona very soon in the coming month, because we have a mastermind meeting in Scottsdale, and then you and your principal, your co-partner, will be joining me here in the casita. So,
we're also setting up a consulting with you. So,
okay.
for the transition.
Well, I hadn't heard for sure, but I know I did get an inbound call from the next generation yesterday.
So. Yeah, so the next generation had told me you need to confirm with Michael on that appointment.
Okay.
So.
All right. Audience, you just witnessed a sale. All right.
Yes.
That being said, all right. Tammy, I'm not going to ask you to give your phone number out because you're you're busy, you know, marketing for an agency, and you've got, you know, you've got a life and a grandchild on the way. But if people wanted to reach you, let's say by email, what are you comfortable with? If they had questions for you, what do you want to do?
If they have questions, they are welcome to email me. They can email me, you know, at Tammy@BankCorpInsurance.com.
Right. Okay. Let's spell Bank Corp because it's, yeah,
it's got it's different. Yeah. So BANC is in Charlie, ORP, and then insurance spelled out.
Got it. All right. .com. Okay. Tammy, as always, this has been a pleasure. I still take notes when you talk, so I hope everybody else did too, unless they're driving.
That would be good.
All right. Been great talking to you. Look forward to seeing you soon. And thanks so much for sharing. I suppose we did joke about this before we got started. This is no longer the tape of the month club, and it's no longer the CD of the month club. As we talked about earlier, technologies change. But we still want to find great messages and deliver them to the audience. And I think you delivered a very important message. So thanks on behalf of the audience. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking Media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.